My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hour number two of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, I do not have the Not My Beat opener over here. Do you have it over there? I think... what we've discovered in part is there might be two different internets in the old building here, and Anthony seems to be on some of his stuff connected to one, and I'm connected to the other, which is not currently connected. So, without further ado, because I've now stalled long enough for Anthony to pull up the audio, it's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
All right, let's get to it with my new seatmate in the press box at Northwest. Is it Stadium or Field, Michael? I was so proud of myself yesterday on the Take Command live stream postgame that I said Northwest, not FedEx. And then I think I got it wrong because I was like Northwest Field, but it's Northwest Stadium, right?
It's Stadium. It was FedEx Field, Commander's Field, now Northwest Stadium. I think we can all agree it's got that little je ne sais quoi stadiumness to it now that really has been missing for a while.
I mean, there were definitely upgrades in there yesterday. That was my first time there. I didn't go in the preseason. And, like, some of the new hallway paintings and stuff is nice. I wish I had a chance to walk around a little bit more. But the ingress is not quite up to where I think they want it quite yet. So it took me quite a while to get inside, Michael. But, sure, stadium.
I respect your ingress issues. I had problems with the egress. So I believe both cresses were suboptimal.
Oh, how late were you there? Did you get out, like, right after?
I left, I'm going to say, about 5:30, so about an hour after the game ended. And, you know, what is it, about 15 miles from the stadium to the Wilson Bridge, the Virginia border?
Yeah.
It was an hour 15, which is not the amount of time I prefer for that drive to be.
No. I see, my home drive wasn't, I left about the same time. Of course, I only have to get to downtown D.C. You have to get back to Richmond. And have to deal with 495, but okay, noted. Dear Harris Group and Company, I know that you're working on it. I know it's a priority, but we still have some issues with the grasses. That is...
Well, and look, I've been to games at Foxborough, I've been to games at Arrowhead, you know, AT&T Stadium, right? Jerry World.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all primo venues. All of them, you sit in traffic after the game. It's 80,000 people getting dumped out. You know, there's just no amount of roads that correctly handles that. Unless, and here's the key, Craig Hoffman, unless there's viable mass transit next
Correct.
To the stadium, in which case you can pull it off.
You don't have to tell me. I went to the Olympics in Paris where it was awesome.
All you need is to build a stadium on a metro stop, and many of your problems get solved instantly.
Yes. So, or build a metro stop for the stadium. Now,
solving the world's problems.
That's what we're doing here, and we're also probably going to start breaking down football now, Michael, because otherwise everyone's going to tune out. Michael and I got to sit next to each other during the game yesterday. So, Michael, I know many of your thoughts from during the game, but having done whatever watching back you've done, any ruminating on things, what's the thing that as we sit here 25 hours after the game ended, what's the thing that you're still thinking about from yesterday's game, the Commanders' first win of the season?
I think Jaden Daniels getting knocked out of the game was obviously incredibly scary in the moment, and in retrospect, potentially a turning point for this offense this season. I felt like in the moment he played differently when he returned. I feel like on watching the tape, it was a combination of that and the game being called differently on his return. Either way, I liked it an awful lot. I like what Cliff Kingsbury has done through two games. Obviously, I have quibbles, as anybody does, but on the whole, I give him high marks. Jaden Daniels, remember that MTV show where they took the kids to prisons? I think it was called Scared Straight. I wonder if they got scared straight a little bit yesterday when he got knocked out after three consecutive runs, an unacceptable consecutive number of quarterback runs. After that, it sure felt like he found a rhythm. And yeah, I didn't appreciate it as much in the moment because it kind of felt inevitable, I think, at the time. But he was really smooth in that two-minute drill at the end of the game, too. And we can't take those things for granted because that is a really special quarterback skill.
No, it is. And as he said, he actually put it really well. Like, this is where the kind of the heroes are made. This is where a name is made in this league, is those two-minute moments. And it's not too big for him. The throw to Noah Brown is fantastic. But even rewinding back to the moment you talked about, so that drive starts with 8:16 to go in the second quarter, the drive that he gets knocked out on. It's a 1st and 10. He vacates a clean pocket. He had Luke McCaffrey, I think, on a crosser there. I don't really know why he didn't throw it, but he vacates a clean pocket, takes a hit. 2nd down, they run a QB draw. That's the call I hated most in the game.
That's the one.
That's like the only call this year that I'm like 100% I'm out on that. He just took a hit. I know you're sequencing your plays. There's no reason at 2nd and 11 at your own 15-yard line after your quarterback just took a hit. If you want to run the ball on 2nd and long, fine. Hand the ball off. Do not expose him to another hit. And then on 3rd and 13, Michael, like, I actually love the decision for him to run there because he has checkdowns that aren't going to get the first down, and he got the first down. Now, of course, he takes a helmet to the gut and gets the wind knocked out of him, and that's less than ideal. But, like, on the decision there, I am in favor of it. I'm in favor of him going, I am not going to just be a quarterback who settles for an 8-yard checkdown and a couple of stat pads on 3rd and 13. What do you make of the decision? Then we can get to how the game shifted from there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was in 3rd and 13, you want to get the first down at all costs, right? And we've seen that play out in games where guys, you know, take hits they wouldn't normally take and guys lay it out on the line. I am blanking. There was a college game this weekend where a dude, I think it was Florida State Memphis. Memphis went for it on a 4th down late in the game, you know, to seal it. And the running back, I mean, ran into a hit that destroyed him, but got the first down by about 1/2 inch. That's what you do with the game on the line. That's what you do in the big moments. That was correct. I think you and I see this the same way. It was unacceptable to expose him to the quarterback draw on 2nd down. You've got to change your game plan at that point. But, yeah, 3rd and 13, if we are doing the big picture, like when should Jaden run, then is the answer. You know, there will never be a scenario where that's not a good time for the quarterback to run if he can pick up a 1st down, because that's when you extend drives and that's when you keep the ball away from the other team and put points on your board.
So then the play right after that, Michael Phillips, of course, with us here on the Hoffman Show, Michael, from 910 The Fan down in Richmond, which you can also listen to on the free Odyssey app, his show 10 a.m. to noon. So after that play, Driscoll comes in, hands the ball off, and then they run a quick slant. It's like a double slant concept. He hits Terry. Love that. Easy, quick throw. Get him in rhythm. Get the ball out of his hands. Easy read. He then throws the hospital ball to Terry, which upon watching the tape, Michael, I actually understand why he threw it. That linebacker just peels off Zach Ertz in a way that you probably wouldn't expect as a rookie quarterback. That, like, oh, NFL linebackers can do that? I got to worry about that guy. And so he misses Terry as Terry almost gets decapitated. But then he, you know, like, his footwork's a little bit messy on a 2nd and 13. He misses Terry. And then he has a great scramble because the tight end screen gets completely blown up. But they ultimately, like, work it down to getting into field goal range again. But I agree, like, some of that drop back, I loved the quick game to Terry. And then what did you see kind of as the game evolved from that drive that you thought was different and better than however they were handling the game up to that point and that turning point of him leaving?
Yeah, I think they – I don't know if they took things out of his hands or if he put things in his hands or whatever it was, but it sure felt like he looked first to the pass, running was absolutely still on the table for him through the end of the game, but it felt like he was doing a little better job of looking for that receiver first before he just committed to the run, you know, kind of blindly without looking at the options. And I think Cliff Kingsbury did a nice job setting up concepts as the game went on, which is what you want out of an offensive coordinator, where Jaden's life was easier in the second half because a lot of the first half stuff, I thought, set up a lot of the second half stuff, which is really what you want, you know, in a game plan. You want to make sure that it all is cohesive, that it all flows together. I thought that took some of the load off of him. You know, I agree with what you said about the footwork. It's not perfect yet. I also am totally good with watching this play out and learn in real time, especially because he's not going to cost this team games. The secondary is going to cost this team games, which I'm sure we'll talk about. So the fact that he's not going to be on the hook for any of these losses, I think allows me to say, hey, look, let's stick with this, even if it's maybe not the most direct path to victory. I think it's the best path in the long term.
Yeah, for sure. Michael Phillips with us here on the Hoffman Show. The offense, there's some good, and there's like the offense I look at is like there's some good and there's some opportunities for growth. I don't know how much actual bad there is because everything that's quote unquote bad within the vacuum of this game is really opportunities for growth moving forward. The defense, Michael, that we might look at a little bit differently. What do you look at as a legitimate problem for right now, like an unexpected problem? And what do you look at as like, hey, this is just something that's a reality of what they have to deal with, and they're going to have to game plan around it?
Yeah, I think you and I will carve this one up the same way. The reality is the situation at corner where Michael Davis got benched, Noah Igbinami got in, and I mean, he didn't do better, I don't think, remarkably better. You had to make the change. Dan Quinn after the game said it's still an open competition, which I read to mean neither of them really gave you what you wanted there. I thought St. Juice had a nice game, so that's good. I think the rookies have been less impactful than I hoped for, and obviously there, a left tackle, you got an injury situation, so that's not fair to judge off of. But as Sam Ristel, I don't think has been quite the impact player I was maybe hoping he'd be right out of the gate. Doesn't mean he won't be long-term. The situation that's developing here is up front, notwithstanding, I thought, Cleveland Farrell, you know, second game had a sack, obviously.
You Richmond Homer. You Richmond Homer, you.
That's pretty good. On the whole, that group is not good enough to justify keeping Allen and Payne through the trade deadline, and I think that's kind of the marker I'm going to put down here, is that you need to either get that group performing better and assisting the operation, or it's time to send one of them off for some assets and some draft picks at the trade deadline. That decision is going to come a lot quicker than you'd like it to, probably.
Agreed. Allen, like, do you think Allen and Payne are playing at the same level? Do you see one is worse or in more trouble than the other? Like, how do you see that situation if we focus in on the two guys who are making two of the five biggest contracts on the team?
Yeah, to quote every coach I've ever covered, I'd probably need to spend a little more time with the tape. My sense is, and I'll defer to you on this one because I know you have spent that time with the tape, my sense is they're not asking Payne to be a disruptor so much as they're asking him to clog up run lanes. That is a tougher assignment to grade, and obviously that means if we're not calling his name, that actually means he's doing his job. First glance, I'd probably say Allen's the more of the culprit. It's a group project, though, and the group has failed the project, though, the, you know, as a D-line, especially with what you've got at corner right now. And, you know, look, I'll throw the linebackers into this. I like both of them. I like Luvu and Wagner, but certainly they participate in that pass rush, and it just hasn't been good enough.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the pass rush thing is tough. Because, like, Duron, I think, has been the more impactful pass rusher, is the simple version of it. I think John has largely been a non-factor as a pass rusher. I think Duron has pushed the pocket a couple of times. I think Duron, on both of Farrell's sacks, actually, since take your hometown Cleveland Farrell, not that he hasn't been good, just, you know, a little needle, a little fun. But no, I think on both of Farrell's sacks this season, Duron has actually been the impetus for both of those. He's flushed the quarterback that way. Farrell has done a good job of being disciplined in his rush lane, and he eats up the sack, and that's his job. So good job 94, good job 99. I think the thing that's really interesting is, like, John, more so than Duron, has taken himself out of plays at times. And they've both done it, though. And my question that I don't have a great answer to at this time, and this is one of those where, like, if we were still in the locker room, we would go asking around and seeing if anybody would tell us anything. D. Lyman, famously, not the most willing talkers.
Yes.
But maybe, Anthony, now that I'm spitballing out loud here with Michael, I'm going to give both him and us a guest idea. We should see if Kedrick Golston wants to come on this week, because Ked would have a good answer to this. But, Michael, my thing is, like, are they being taught to be really aggressive, and now they're going to have to figure out, now that teams realize how aggressive they are, that that's going to be used against them some? Or are they freelancing too much and causing problems, which, of course, has been a problem with this defensive line through multiple coaching staffs now over the last couple of years?
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of the great ending disappointment of the Ron Rivera era, that the one thing we all felt good about what he created was that defensive line, and you're not hearing, you know, I know Sweat's having some success, but it's largely just kind of faded away, and these are just guys. I still want Payne on my team. I think Payne still has a lot to offer, but as a whole, this group just never really reached its potential, and certainly the things you mentioned are factors here. If you get Cat, I'd love to hear his thoughts on whether there weren't too many stars on those defensive lines, if that was a potential obstacle along the way. But the bottom line here is, yeah, you're hoping Johnny Newton comes along quickly. I think 12 snaps was the number coming off the injury. That's fine. Get him, you know, back in it. When you get him good enough that you can put somebody else as inactive, Jamin Davis can take some more snaps, give you a little something off the edge there that he wasn't able to bring yesterday. I think there are paths forward. I just don't think they involve the 2024 team being really good at this position.
No, I think that is unfortunately fair. Hopefully they can turn around and just be better, like be more solid. And I will say, yeah, the last piece of this, since you mentioned the trade part, is Allen is easier to trade contractually. Deron and Terry are on similar timelines. If you think of those three players as kind of the three remaining best stalwarts, contractually, Terry and Deron both have an extra year compared to John's contract, which means you'd have dead money. But nobody wants to hear about all the contractual stuff. Just that's deep enough in that pile. Michael Phillips with us for another minute or two here on the Hoffman Show. And Michael, I don't know if you knew this, but we haven't had the internet for the last like hour. The internet's back. So we're a fully operational radio show. We're back on the internet. We have graphics on the internet. We have all our sound bites and effects. So that's exciting. I also have one final question for you, which is, what do they do at corner? And I realize that there's probably not a great answer here, but they're going to have to do something. Do you have any outside or inside the box ideas?
I think outside the team ideas are probably what you need here. You probably need to just treat the season as an open audition and, you know, find the 10 best guys who aren't on rosters right now and, you know, start cycling them through Ashburn and see if one of them can stick and if you like one of them, because, you know, I'm not sure I see a lot of internal solutions to the problem. I don't think it's a coaching problem. Obviously, I was quite outspoken, as I think you were last year, that a lot of their problems were coaching problems. I think this year it's far more talent problems than coaching problems. Of course, you know, you learn things after the fact as well, so it's hard to say anything definitively from our view here. But I would bring in auditions and bring in guys. It's also, I mean, it's funny, you know, I'll bring in Austin Seibert. You know, do we know if he's a good kicker or not? And the funny thing is, we kind of don't. He made 6 extra points yesterday, essentially, and I'm really glad he did. But if Cade York had been around yesterday, he might have gone 7 for 7 too. And if Austin Seibert had been here 2 weeks ago, he might have missed the 54-yarder in Tampa, right? So much of it is situational and who you play and when you play and who you go up against. Now, that said, I do think the Giants was probably one of the easier gigs this year for those corners. So I don't love that they did not pass that test.
Yeah. I mean, that said, like, Malik Nabers is sick. So that's the good news, if you will. The bad news is,
I think everybody's got one of those now.
Ja'Marr Chase is next. So, and by the way,
everybody have one of those now except us.
Well, I was about to say there is one team. This was something I was texting with Kime earlier about this, and I just kind of posited the question: what would happen if Cliff decided we're gonna spam Terry in the same way that Minnesota spams JJ or Dable spammed Neighbors yesterday. 18 targets. Not that I think that he is the same guy, but I just, as a science experiment, I want to know what would happen. Like, would he have, if they, let's say they got him 18 targets. Does he have 9 catches? Does he have 15 catches? Does he average 3.7 yards a catch like he did yesterday? Does he average 25 yards a catch because he takes two of them to the house? Like, it's a finicky position receiver. Some guys clearly are at a different level. I think Chase, for what, you know, whatever it's worth, that we'll see next week, next Monday night. I guess you'll join us to preview that one. He's on that 10 out of 10 level. Terry's not. But what would happen if you treated him like that for a day? I just want to know.
I also want to know. I want to know what it's like to have a number one receiver who gets catches in football games. That's a thing I join you in wanting to know, Craig Hoffman.
Whatever it's worth, his career high in targets is 14. He's had it twice. He had 10 and 11 catches, and it was over 100 yards. So I don't know. I might mess around and find out again at some point this season if I'm Cliff. But right now, just keep 5 upright, and we'll live with the rest. Michael Phillips, he'll be talking about all this 10 a.m. to noon on 910 The Fan in Richmond, which you can listen to on the free Odyssey app. And yeah, Michael, I guess next Monday you'll join us to preview Monday Night Football.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, you know, I don't know that I'm going to bring a lot of cheer and optimism, but I will bring my trademark happiness.
Trademark happiness and bits, because, you
bits,
know.
Bits.
That's really your job around here, Michael, let's be honest.
I plan to live up to the billing.
Excellent. Michael Phillips, everybody. Thank you, sir. And I'm excited that we're seatmates now.
Yeah. I guess I'll see you at the Browns game next. So a winnable game, as they say.
Winnable. Hey, any given Sunday, Michael, unless you're the Panthers. All right. See you, buddy. That's it. That's all. Michael Phillips, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Speaking of the Panthers, they made news today. They're benching Bryce Young. Yep. Nope. They're really benching Bryce Young, their number one overall pick from last year, based off what happened yesterday. So that's a yikes for them. We'll let you know what happened around the rest of the NFL and how our picks did as well next here on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube again at the Team 980 because our internet is back. Anthony, what will be your favorite memory of the internet being out and the victory, first victory Monday of 2024?
A time that none of us
will never forget.
My favorite?
Yeah.
My favorite will probably be the fact I didn't get to play Hell to the Redskins. I mean, not Hell to the Redskins.
Left hand up?
Left hand up, yeah.
God dang. Remember, Anthony.
Yeah.
We are the Commanders.
We are the Commanders, I meant to say. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders. I couldn't play that song. I was hurt.
I mean, the show's not over.
Oh, no, it's not. I'm going to play it.
And we also at 6:30 are going to bring back Tell the Truth Monday. Let 6 o'clock folks get in on some calls. And we have an open for that now. Like we made one.
Mm-hmm.
More specifically, I made one. I went into the lab.
Yep.
I did some production. It's nothing terribly fancy.
Cook some stuff up.
But like sometimes there's beauty in simplicity. And I cooked something up, and I was ready and excited to play it at 4:30,
mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen because we didn't have the internet, which is our drives are internet connected. So I guess 6:30, people can hear the simplistic beauty for the first time, if you will.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I'll tell you.
Apologies to the people on the internet that we were not on the internet. To be honest, I have no idea what the quality is of the video recordings that we tried to do offline. So some of that's the show. We might not wind up in video form on the internet, but that's okay because we have a podcast. You can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Just search the Hoffman Show in your favorite podcast app, mm-hmm. and you don't even have to see us. I mean, look at us. We are worth looking at. Now when you make a face like that, what was that? You like rolled your eyes back in your head. That was weird.
That's my light skin face.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah,
that one was better.
You got to squint your eyes.
Yeah,
you got to raise your eyebrows.
Yeah, but like...
It's a lot that goes into it.
Your eyes got caught in a weird place between open and closed. That was not...
Okay.
It might have been the angle and the lighting. But yeah, no, that's better. The first one, like your head was turned at a funky angle.
Yeah.
And it just looked like you were dead.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm alive now.
Okay. He's alive! Okay, let's get to it. It's 5:30. It is time to go around.
Oh, my gosh.
The NFL. We will take a look at our picks. We will take a look at all the games. We will give you analysis. But first, Anthony, where were we going into the week on the pick side of things?
So, going into week two, you were a stellar 11-4, and I was a subpar. I was 7-8.
7-8. You were 7-9, and I was 11-5 after Thursday Night Football, where we stupidly picked the Dolphins.
Hold on, that's bad math, Craig. Oh, Thursday we didn't pick Ravens Chiefs. Is that what it was?
No, we did pick Ravens Chiefs. So I was 12-4.
You picked the Ravens, though. Oh no, you picked the Chiefs.
I mean, I picked the Chiefs. Yeah. On the opener?
Yeah. I had to go back. I don't know why this is I gotta check the math.
You're short a game.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
That math was not bad.
Well, it was the Monday night
football game.
That's right.
Who won Monday?
The Niners beat the Jets on week one.
And I picked the Jets.
And I picked the Niners. So 12.
Yeah. So I'm 7-9 actually. And you are 12-4.
Okay. 12-5 after Thursday Night Football this week. You were 7-10 after Thursday Night Football this week. Because again, stupidly, we picked the Dolphins instead of the Bills, even though giant Bills fan, Wizards GM Will Dawkins informed us today when we saw him at the Wizards media tip-off that that was extra super-duper stupid because the Bills have won like 13 of 14 against Miami or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because Josh Allen's really good at football, Anthony.
You think so?
I do. I think he's a top, frankly, I think he's a top two quarterback. But
well, he has since made my top five.
Congratulations on getting closer to being correct.
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of us being really wrong. Oh, my God. The Saints are good. Saints 44, Cowboys 19. The one thing that really brought Northwest Stadium together yesterday, Giants and Commanders fans cheering the Cowboys struggles. Dak Prescott, who you do have as a top five quarterback, he had 293 yards in the game. That's the good news for him. The bad news is he had one touchdown and two picks. Good for a 52.9 QBR. The Cowboys' run game, non-existent. They rushed for a 68 yards total. Meanwhile, Alvin Kamara had 115 by his own self. Three touchdowns for Kamara. He also had one through the air. Olave, 81 yards. Shaheed, 96 yards. Like, dude, they were ridiculous. Carr, 11 for 16, 243, two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Insane.
What tree is their head coach from?
I don't know about Dennis Allen and where he's from, but I do know that their offensive coordinator is Clint Kubiak, who is the Kyle Shanahan to, you know, Gary Kubiak, right? Yeah. If Gary and Mike work together, Clint is Gary's son. Mike is Kyle's son, and Clint Kubiak might very well be the next one.
Yeah, I just think, and maybe we should have known this, Dallas struggles against all those kinds of, like, offenses. They struggle against LaFleur. They struggle against the 49ers, of course. You got Dennis Allen and Clint Kubiak giving them problems. When it comes to whatever style of offense that is.
The West Coast, Kyle Shanahan tree, no answer for it. Yeah, I mean, it's really the Shanahan-Kubiak tree. And, well, this guy's name's Kubiak. So that perhaps should have been a sign. That is a good point, Anthony.
Yeah.
Something we should follow the rest of the season. Meanwhile, the Bucks, God, 0-2 start.
We're 0-3, Craig.
0-3 start. Bucks 20, Lions 16. Are the Bucks good? I think yes.
I'm proud of Baker, man. I am proud of Baker, dog. It's good to see him actually winning. I think, you know, him going to Cleveland might have hurt him a little bit. And the same might be, you know, happening to Bryce Young. But, yeah, he was dealt a bad hand, and he's worked his way back. And the Bucks, man, they schemed some stuff up. Did you watch that game?
I did not have a chance to watch this game because I was at the Commanders game.
You talk about Cliff scheming some stuff up. They schemed some stuff up against those guys. Good.
I mean, the toughness Baker shows has that rushing touchdown on the quarterback draw. Five carries, 34 yards, touchdown for Mayfield. 12 of 19, only throws it 19 times, but a touchdown, a pick. Bucky Irving, 7 for 22. Like, this is a weird stat sheet game. You know, of his 185 yards, 117 go to Godwin. Meanwhile, Amon-Ra St. Brown has 11 for 119. Jameson Williams, 5 for 79. From a yardage standpoint, Detroit put up numbers. They put up almost 500 yards of offense. They put up, 446 yards of offense. Just doing the quick math of their passing yards, or actually even more than that. But they put up like 450 passing yards plus rushing yards. Like, they didn't fumble, but ultimately they don't convert touchdowns. Goff's got two picks, and that's how you lose a football game. Doesn't really change what I think about Detroit, but I mean, I will say this is not just an impressive win from Tampa because they won against Detroit, who I think is really good, but they did it without Vita Vea for a lot of this game, and he might be out for a while. Antoine Winfield was out. Their right tackle was out. Like, This is a gutsy win. I think that's a good football team in Tampa. And I know that Washington is only so good and people were like, they just beat Washington. Like, I'm telling you, watching that tape back, dude, like, that's a good football team in Tampa, which is going to make the NFC South a lot more fun than we thought it was going to be, depending on what happens with Atlanta tonight, because they might stink. And then, well, then it probably won't be that interesting. Colts and Packers. What a wacky game this is. One, the Packers won. What do you have to say for your Indianapolis Colts, Anthony?
They have to get punched in the mouth and punch back. That first half, they gave up over 200 rushing yards. Granted, in the second half, they made the changes. The defense as a whole only ended up giving up 10 points. But it's the fact that you gave up 200 rushing yards in the first half. That is absurd. And basically building off what happened last week when Joe Mixon ran all over them. So...
Well, it's even worse this week because you know it's coming. Like, they're not dropping Malik Willis back there to beat you.
He was 3-for-3 in the first half, Craig, for 22 yards and a touchdown. 22 yards!
Well, he got 100 in the second half because he finished with a buck 22.
Yeah.
But the wackiest play of this game, you've probably seen this on the internet by now, unless you're not an internet person, in which case,
crazy.
congratulations on missing this one, but I'm going to ruin your day now. Hope you didn't just eat something, because there was a play where they drew it up and they got what they wanted, and Matt LaFleur asked Malik Willis on a third down, like, hey, bro, we got the look. Like, you're staring right at it. Why didn't you throw it? And he said, because the center threw up on the ball, and I couldn't grip it. So that's a thing that happened yesterday. You had a center throw up on a football, so a quarterback couldn't throw it.
Yep.
But they won the game because Anthony Richardson proverbially threw up and threw three picks.
Yeah, he had a bad offensive game. Also, some of the receivers are dropping passes, though. Like, they just look all out of sorts. Jonathan Taylor didn't play in the fourth. He didn't play in the fourth, Craig.
Not good.
The fourth.
Not good. Jets 24. By the way, that's an 0-4 star for both of us.
Yes, sir.
Any given Sunday. Jets 24, Titans 17. Just enough for Aaron Rodgers and company. Finished this one strong, 17 points in the second half. And another just mind-bending interception by Will Levis in this game, where the cameras catches head coach Brian Callahan as Levis comes back to the sideline going, dude, what the bleep are you doing? They wanted to find out about Will Levis this year. They're finding out, Anthony.
He is giving the game. Oh, that is a critical point in the game.
They could be 2-0, dude.
They could. He got to stop giving the game away point shaving. That's what he's doing, essentially. God dang. But Aaron Rodgers, the Jets defense, they stepped up, you know, when it mattered.
Sure did. Garrett Wilson, 4 catches, 57 yards. Brees Hall, 14 carries, 62, 7 catches, 52. So over 100 yards from scrimmage.
And
Rodgers does not, Braylon Allen, 2 touchdowns on the day, 1 on the ground, 1 as a receiver. But, like, Rodgers and Cousins both coming off the Achilles, man. They can't move like they used to. Mm-hmm. And for Rodgers, that's probably a bigger issue than for Cousins because the mobility was such a big part of Rodgers' game. But for both of them, they can't, like, they just can't push off and they can't drive the ball down the field. And teams are going to sit on short stuff. And that is going to become a huge problem when you're facing teams that are better than the Tennessee Titans, because eventually you're going to have to score some points, or this defense is going to have to be a lot better.
Yeah.
So that's something to watch for the Jets, 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 Jets. We both got that one right. So the skid is over. That's the good news. The bad news is, what the hell happened to the Niners? Vikings 23, Niners 17. Justin Jefferson had a 97-yard touchdown catch from Sam Darnold. That is the difference in the game. Jordan Mason, another 100-yard day as Christian McCaffrey is being put on IR. Brock Purdy over 300 yards in the loss, but they just can't finish drives. And they got some more injury issues. George Kittle was carted off at one point in this game. So it just shows you, after the Niners look incredible in week one, how quickly things can change. Short week, they go on the road, Minnesota, and Kevin O'Connell's one of them dudes, man. He's figuring out ways to scheme it up for Sam freaking Darnold, and the Vikings are 2-0.
Yeah, the Vikings, Justin Jefferson said it before the game. He is not Garrett Wilson. And the fact he beat his man and the safety over the top, crazy. 97-yard TD. But yeah, the 49ers, they didn't look like they did in week one. I think they played great in week one. Offense was like essentially flawless, but I don't know, week two is Brian Flores. I think he was able to scheme up some stuff, because after the game, Brock Purdy said, hey, you got a hell of a defensive scheme. And that's part of the, that was one of the interceptions he ended up throwing inside their own like 10, I think it was.
Yeah, that's those are killers. Can't do it. And cost them the game, 23-17. Vikings. Seahawks needed overtime, but they beat the Patriots, who are scrappy, 23-20. Antonio Gibson, 11 carries, 96 yards in this game. DK Metcalf, big touchdown on a busted coverage. Geno Smith, 327 and a touchdown. Patriots cover, which might be relevant on Wednesday, but the Seahawks get the dub here.
Yeah, this was a... I didn't know the Patriots were going to be this scrappy, man. I knew what Bill Belichick, what he had, his defensive scheme, but I think we got to give Gerard Mayo some props, because he's keeping these guys close in these games. And also, Ramondre Stevenson is also trying to put the team
back. He is a load, man. Bro. God, he can get downhill. Sogan Gibson, by the way.
Like, yeah.
Let's just look up and see the highlight of AG rumbling through the secondary. Chargers, 26. Panthers, 3. Yeah, man. At some point in the press box yesterday, we were talking about this game. Somebody brought up J.K. Dobbins' stat line, and I literally go, being Jim Harbaugh's running back is the greatest job in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get carries. You're going to get good looks. You're going to have a good O-line in front of you. It's going to be well coached. Herbert has to throw for just $130 to get the win. Dobbins, 17 carries, 131 yards. That's right, 17 carries. He averaged 7.7 a carry. And it's not like he had an 80-yarder. His long was 43, which is long, but it's not 80. That is ridiculous. Quentin Johnston, a solid 5-catch, 51-yard day. He's got 2 touchdowns on his 5 catches. Man, you know, Herbert, nice and easy. Only had to throw it 20 times. Meanwhile, Bryce Young, 18 for 26, Anthony, for 84 yards. He had 18 completions for 84 yards, and he ultimately today is benched by Dave Canales. Just 2 games into the Canales-Bryce Young era. I actually have a lot of respect for Canales doing this. I saw Joe Person, again, real name, real person, Joe Person, not a fake name. Joe covers the Panthers for The Athletic, and I saw him during the game yesterday tweet, like, if he doesn't bench Bryce Young, he's going to risk losing the locker room. And they should have, frankly, done it last year, and they didn't. But Canales is willing to do it now. Andy Dalton's going to start, and we'll see how it goes. But I hope that Bryce Young goes somewhere and gets to sit for 2 years and eventually can turn his career around and be, at the very least, a capable NFL starter. I feel so bad, because I feel like that franchise ruined him playing him last year. And I know the height is clearly more of an issue than a lot of us who liked him coming out gave it credit for. There's a reason why there's, you know, he would have been a major exception and not a rule. But, like, he had nothing. And it's just... this is how you ruin a quarterback, and it looks like they ruined a quarterback.
Yeah, they definitely did. Last year, no line, no weapons. You throw them into the fire, expect them to go be great. That dude's confidence is gone, man. You can see it, and I know it's a new year, new season, but his confidence is still shot. So I'm hoping nothing but the best for him as well, man.
Yeah.
Nothing but the best.
Just a huge, huge bummer. Browns 18, Jags 13. This one got real interesting late. Trevor Lawrence trying to leave a late game drive and had a ball that damn near was caught as time expired in the end zone that would have won it.
Man.
But ultimately, Cleveland able to hold on, in part because Myles Garrett has a safety sack of Lawrence in the fourth quarter, meaning the Jags needed a touchdown on their final drive instead of just a field goal. And the Jags fall to 0-2. Browns still not very good on offense. Still a problem at quarterback position, but they do get a win. They are 1-1. And I don't know that either of these teams are going to be as good as people thought they might be.
Nope. I mean, the Browns defense will probably still be able to keep them in games. But until Nick Chubb comes back, I mean, Jerome Ford is holding down the fort a little bit, but that is a team that leans on their run game to, like, set up everything. And if you can't run the ball effectively, I don't have the utmost faith in Deshaun Watson to go out there. So I end up getting this one right, though. I changed it at the last second. Browns, Jags.
You did. You yes, did. Sir. Congratulations to you. Raiders, Ravens, 26-13. The Ravens fall at home to Gardner Minshew. And the Raiders, Devontae Adams, 9 catches, 110, and a touchdown. Still great. The Ravens, meanwhile, just defensively without Mike McDonald. And the thing is, it's not just Mike McDonald. They lost a bunch of other coaches on that staff. And I still think the Ravens are going to be just fine. They're 0-2. This is definitely a way worse loss than the Chiefs. But they gotta still find a way to be a little bit more explosive offensively. Blend Lamar and Derrick Henry together. Henry, 18 for 84 and a touchdown. Be a little bit more efficient in the passing game. Lamar just 21 of 34 for a touchdown, but also got picked. And then, yeah, defensively, like, you give up almost 300 yards, 276 in the air to Gardner Minshew, 110 to Devontae Adams. And by the way, hello, Brock Bowers, 9 for 98 for the rookie tight end.
Oh, my God. I didn't know he had a stat line that absurd. Good gracious. Yeah, Ravens got to do better. I think they got to feed Derrick Henry the ball a little bit more. I understand he got 18, but if this guy rushes for 5 yards, it's 2nd and 5, go right back to him. Don't go away from him, because guess what? Next play, Lamar gets sacked. Like, come on. You're killing yourself.
Yeah, not good.
You brought
good.
In this guy.
I told you, I don't know why you're going to pick the Cardinals, but you're going to do it. You're going to hold your breath, and you're going to win. And boy, did that turn out to be true. And the Rams, they're 0-2 and going the wrong way. Just announced literally 20 minutes ago, Cooper Kupp is going to be out for a while, according to Sean McVay. So they're down Puka Nacua. They're down Cooper Kupp. And they're down in an 0-2 hole in maybe the toughest division in football. It's Kyler Murray and the Cardinals put the absolute smackdown on the Rams, 41-10. Tons of concern after week one. Marvin Harrison Jr. did not look good. Hello. 4 catches, 130, and 2 touchdowns. James Conner, 21 carries for a 122 on the ground. Sometimes you look at the stinky fish, Anthony, and you just do it.
You said it, Craig. You said it, and I should have went with you. Next time, I will definitely go with you when it's a stinky fish. That dude, Marvin Harrison Jr., oh, my gosh. All of his stats in the first quarter. In the first quarter is insane.
Crazy. Steelers, 13. Broncos, 6. Not a lot to talk about from this game. The Broncos stink. The Steelers survived. I guess we watch and see who they play at quarterback next week.
Yeah, I think you go with Justin Fields, though.
I mean, I guess he's led you to a 2-0 start, but, like, it wasn't exactly beautiful.
I'm not saying he – so a couple of his plays actually were negated due to penalties. I think his numbers and his play was better than the box score actually indicates.
Fair enough. I didn't get a chance to watch this one, so I will defer to you on that. Chiefs, 26. Bengals, 25. Why? Because Mahomes is inevitable. They figure it out late. They set up a game-winning field goal. Burrow, 258, 2 touchdowns. I think the good news for the Bengals, despite being 0-2, is they looked much more like the Bengals. Week of practice. Now a couple of weeks with Ja'Marr Chase back. Obviously, they now have an extra week or an extra day here this week as they prepare to host the Commanders on Monday Night Football. But the Chiefs, 2-0, and I think this is probably a good game for them, too. They probably came out of that opener like, yeah, we just beat the team that was supposed to be the bullies on the block. Like, we're awesome. We're the champs. And this is like a reminder, like, no, you really got to play every week. And the Chiefs go out and find a way because that's what the Chiefs do.
Did you see the last play? The pass interference?
I did. It was very clearly pass interference.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. Anybody who's complaining about that is a loser. Like, just straight up, you're a loser. I don't use that term often, but, like, if you don't think that's pass interference, you think the ref should swallow the whistle there. No, they shouldn't. They should call the pass interference because it's pass interference.
He got that a little early.
You think? Texans, Bears, 19-13, the final. Texans, not exactly a stellar performance, but they do enough. Meanwhile, a lot more questions about, hey, what's going on with this Bears offense? Caleb Williams, 2 picks, no touchdowns. I mean, he still hasn't broken 200 yards passing in the two games. 93 in the first one, 174 in this one. Too much hero ball. not enough, like, hey, let's be solid. And I think if you want to see why I'm a lot higher than a lot of other people on Cliff Kingsbury and what he's doing with Jaden Daniels so far, go watch what the Bears are asking Caleb Williams to do and how he's responding.
Yeah, and you want to know a crazy stat, Craig? So 14 of the 32 quarterbacks in this week threw for under 200 yards this year. I mean, this week.
Defenses are playing well to start the year.
I think a lot of people are also leaning on the run, though, too.
The run game is making a return.
Just saying.
But this is what happens, right? It's cyclical because the pass game was so big for so long.
Uh-huh.
People are playing with lighter personnel. They're playing more, you know, back, deeper coverages and cover two shells, so, or two-man shells. So there's less bodies in the box. And so offenses are like, cool, you're going to give us 6 yards running the ball? Let's do it.
Every time.
And so until the league starts to figure out how to defend both, or they're just going to say, like, hey, we'd rather have you beat us this way because you have to sustain drives and rather than give up an explosive play touchdown, this is the way it's going to be. And that's our look around the NFL. When we get back to Commanders and Giants, and we will take a look at our pick six. Six players we identified Friday to watch in the game on Sunday, Commanders and Giants. How'd they do? We'll tell you next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.